I beg God today not to have to stand here, because I'm so don't want to hurt anybody, and I'm so in hurting myself. It's a good hurt in a way. I'm so thankful that Sue and I are different than how we were when we first got saved. Now, we really came out of the world. We were... part of me would like to have Bronx testimony. Saved at 5. Filled at 7. Served God my whole life. What a great testimony. Trust me when I say that's not mine and Sue's. In fact, we sinned so... we were such good sinners, if I can say it that way, that even when we got married, you know, back then some people would say, you got to repent of everything or you can't be saved. Oh, get out of town. Who are you? We could never remember all of the sins that we did after all of that. And so Sue and I, we just kind of made this agreement, because it was more than we could remember. We just assumed each other did everything. And that way, if we find out something later, it's not a surprise, you know. But I was raised by O.R. Carpenter, whom I love greatly, and a very man's man, gone to be with the Lord now, broad at the shoulder, narrow at the hip. Nobody ever gave any lip to O.R. Carpenter. And so I was raised, even though I'm short in stature, I was raised to be a macho man. Bless God, this is the way it is. My dad would tell me, there's the right way, the wrong way, and the O.R. Carpenter way, and bless God, around here, it's going to be the O.R. Carpenter way. He'll say, if I want your opinion, son, I will give it to you. When it's too tough for everybody else, it's just right for you. Okay. So I'm raised in a very macho type. This is who Sue started off with. This is who God started off with. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Sue came out of more of the feminist type thing. Can I say bra burning in church? If you're my age, you remember when that was a slogan, the bra burning thing, you know, feminist, and she'd been hurt. We've all been hurt. Come on. Yeah. We've all been. But she'd been hurt. Been through some rough things. And so her basic agenda, and I hope I'm saying it okay, was, no man is going to tell me what to do. You know. Boy, doesn't that sound like a wonderful way to start a marriage? We really did love each other. We have, really, from the eighth grade, I think. But it's one thing to love from afar. It's another thing to move in with each other. But we were trying. And we really were trying. And people, even before we got saved, said they would admire the relationship that we had. Now, the two of us know... I'm going somewhere. This is not Gary and Sue Day. I'm going somewhere with this. We're going to talk about transformation is what we're going to talk about. So, but even that... and it's because we were trying. But looking back on it now... we know that if we had not yet saved, there's not a chance in the world we would have made it. And we've been married now 45 years, thank God. Okay, you have no idea what this woman has put up with. She is a saint of God. And you notice nobody laughed because it's true. So she said it goes the other way, too. We weren't saved when we got married. I drank terribly. I'd been that way a long time. Smoked like a freight train. Had a pornography collection I was very proud of. I wasn't ashamed to show it to you if you came visited. I kept it in plastic. Now, in those days, you young ones, we had magazines. We did not have anything. There was no internet. Okay. But so I... anyway, I don't want to go through all that again. I'm saying all that to say, thank God for the transformation that has happened so far. You know, thank God the drinking is gone and the nicotine is gone and the pornography is gone and the living life just to serve money and just to get rich. And I could go on with so many things. Thank God life is not about that anymore. Thank God we've been serving Him in the ministry. Yes, sir. I'm going real slow on purpose. But every now and then you get another look. Yes, sir. Philippians 3. Philippians 3. Paul said it better than I can. I used to have Philippians in this Bible. Hey, I'll tell y'all something you don't know. You know how the Lord's been training me to follow Him without depending like I used to on the Scriptures? Which, by the way, in case of a trouble, I do have two printed lessons. I could give you two lessons. But He's probably not going to let me do that. He's been teaching me, though. You know, I walk up here many times without my Bible. Sometimes He wouldn't let me bring my phone. Do you know I went to a conference to teach and forgot to take my Bible? Do you know how impossible that would have been a year ago? That just would never have happened. I couldn't believe it. I'm unpacking. I'm going, I didn't bring a Bible. Well, what'd you do? I stole one of Jim's. What do you think I did? He loaned it to me. Actually gave it to me there at the end as a Bible that had been donated. But see, that is a transformation. For Gary, my reliance now is so more upon the Holy Spirit, even than it is upon the Scripture. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't mean Scripture. I printed a Bible. So that was just amazing to me. That is a transformation. So in Philippians 3, very familiar passage. We're going to go a little farther today. Did Paul go through a transformation? Dear Lord. I mean, he was the head of those. He was the breathing out slaughters against the church. He was the one that had authority, letters from headquarters to go and arrest people. And I believe he was the one giving the approval for them to stone Stephen. He wouldn't dirty his hands with the stones, but he stood there with the authority and the approval to do it. And he had these letters of authority on his way to Damascus when he had his encounter with the Lord Himself. But here's a guy. And see, in my case, the transformation has been really from sinner to righteous. But if you'll allow him, and so is Saul's technically. But see, his was a whole different way. Before he got saved, we don't see Saul of Tarsus in the bars, do we? We don't see him, you know, in the prostitution houses, or we don't see him doing that kind of thing. It was a different kind of transformation. But see, he was just as lost as Gary in the bars. We've got to understand that. So, he's been having me watch the movie, Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ. When I watched it recently, I remembered it pretty well from when I first saw it. I think it came out in 2004, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, whatever. I hadn't seen it in a long time. When I watched it within the last few weeks, this time, the impact, I'm watching this perfect, innocent, can I say man though? Man. Who never did anything wrong. I can't imagine a little boy growing up never lying to his mama. I can't imagine a little boy ever disobeying. But this one never did anything like that. Perfectly innocent. Boy, when they do that scourging of him there at the whipping post, I know it was even worse than what they're showing, but they did a pretty good job. Man, and that lash comes. One time it just grabs a hold of his flesh right on the side, and when they pull it back, it just rips the flesh off. One time the lashes go across his face. And I'm watching, and Jim Caviezel does a good job of the pain, you know. And I'm watching, and I'm going, why? Why would you do that? Why would you yield to that? And there's only one answer. It's love alone. He took it for you and he took it for me. And for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And I'm looking at it. It's having an effect on me, like even more deeply, I think, than when I saw it the first time. I'm going, Alan said something. I've been catching up on all the messages. And they're all great. Hans did great. Alan did great, of course. You know, no, I think we're, you know, nobody knows when that woman caught in adultery was brought to Jesus and they wanted him to stone her. They wanted to stone her too. And nobody knows what he wrote on the ground. It says he just, we're told he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And everybody, I like how Alan said it, you know, everybody has an opinion. But we're not told, so we don't really know. So Alan gave his opinion. I'd never quite seen it like this. It just swept over me when I heard Alan say it. Alan says, I think what he did there, I think he wrote her sin, adultery. Saying he just, in Hebrew probably, wrote adultery. And then he probably wrote the sins of the men who were standing there with the stones. But this is the part that got me. We don't have any proof of this. He says, I think with her, after he wrote adultery, I think Jesus took his hand and just wiped it away. And when he said that, it just showed me again how absolutely I had nothing to do with my own salvation. Absolutely nothing to do with it. It's God from beginning to end, from top to bottom. He saved me because he loved me. He came and died for me because there was nothing I could do. There was nothing I could do to save myself. My God had to wipe it away by the blood of the Lamb. I haven't forgotten about Philippians 3. So in that movie, right during that time, right before they stop whipping Jesus and he starts carrying the cross, several times in the movie, and you know, you got to allow these artists a little creativity. Satan appeared in the garden to tempt him, which that's not really in Scripture, but we know he was agonizing in prayer there. Satan appears again in this time while they're whipping him, right near the end of the time of it. Boy, I don't know who that actor is, but got a hood on, does a good job of like, as soon as you see that person, there's Satan. Nobody has to tell you, that's Satan. But in this, there's something Mel added. And I'll be honest with you, I did research on it way back when I first saw the movie to find out why. Because during this whipping, here comes that Satan character again with a hood and everything. Just you could see him walking in the crowd back there, just kind of walking by. But it's holding this hideous child. It's holding it like it's a baby, but it's too big to be a baby. It's fat and bloated and the color of it is like sickly, and it's bald, and it's and then it gives this most devilish grin. Yeah, I can't. I'm not going to try and do it because I'm too pretty. But it's a handsome. Excuse me, handsome. But it gives this. But it's walking by. Now that was this morning before this service when I saw this again. Oh, I did research on it before. What in the world? I said, that's not in Scripture, you know, that Satan walked by holding a baby. So I read about it years ago. I looked up, you know, trying to find out why Mel put that in there. He did it. He said, I mainly just wanted to put something in there that would shock people because Satan's always doing these abominable things, you know. So it was just, he did it mainly for shock value, but I think he was more led by the Spirit than he realized. Because I keep going back to that, and this morning I was watching it again before the service, just praying. And here comes that scene again where, now if you can, I got to set the scene for you. It's near the end of the flogging. Jesus is just a mass of stripes and blood, ribs exposed. There he is, almost to the point of exhaustion. With them, they've already, front and back, they even laid him over on his back and flogged him from the front. And right about there is when this character playing Satan walks by, and holding this hideous child that's like a ultimate, Dave would call it maybe the ultimate flesh creature, because it's rolls of fat and blubber and just looks like, but here's the thing, while it's walking by, while Satan's walking by holding that child, at the same time Jesus is suffering in the flesh the way he is, that child is safe in Satan's arms and it's caressing Satan's face. This time, this morning, I heard Alan's voice right then say, God is not the father of your flesh. Oh my God. Every time my flesh rebels, stroking Satan's face. You in Philippians 3? Verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk like him, so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. Now notice, their mind is always on earthly things. We are three-part beings, as Alan has been teaching. Today I'm going to just say it this way. The spiritual part of us, the new man part of us, and the flesh part of us. And you know and I know on a daily basis, I can choose to have my flesh on the cross, or I can choose to once more nestle in Satan's arms and stroke its face so I can get what I want. Yesterday, I got a good look again. I thank God for the transformation. I thank God that Sue and I are not the same people he started with. But I got a good look yesterday again at my own selfishness. What all adjectives can I use? None of these would apply to you, I'm sure, but for me, my own smallness, selfishness, still my inability to hear God at times. I understand now better than I used to why he didn't give, you know, the type and shadow. He did not give the Canaan, the promised land, to them all in a single day. He said, the wild beasts would devour you. Well, the analogy's not perfect, but I think if he showed us everything from the very beginning, we'd be so hopeless we'd just give up. Just wouldn't be able to press on at all. See, in that same chapter, if you back up just a little bit, Paul says, you know, he talks about giving up everything. Let's start in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, and he's talking about his pedigree, Hebrew of the Hebrews and so forth. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And yes, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but, nice church word, dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. That was his whole life before. Trying to have his own righteousness by obeying the law. That was his whole life. He says, not having any of that anymore, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And here's Paul's quest, and here's where we are, prayer center. This is where we are in revival now, all over the world. It doesn't matter if you're in Brazil, Australia, Germany, South Africa, Canada. So it doesn't matter. This will be known as a presence revival. This is our quest, that I may know Him. You might, if you look it up yourself, that word know is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word in the Old Testament where it says Adam knew his wife. Now, we're not trying to get weird. But we are trying to say there is no more intimate thing between a male and a female, a husband and a wife, than the intimacy that's talked about when Adam knew his wife. And they're using this word on purpose. We need to know Him, even to a deeper depth than that. I mean, to know Him. And that's what Paul says. Everything else, I count it rubbish. I don't care about any of that. I just want this. I just want you. What's that song? I just want you, nothing else. I just want you. Forgive me. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. And He is. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. He's talking about how to walk in this resurrection of new life that we have. How do you really walk in it? And the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable to His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And he's talking about walking in this newness of life now. He's not talking about at the end. Not as though I had already attained. See, he's not talking at the end. He's talking now. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this is one of the things I do. Is that what yours says? This is one of the things I do? No, this one thing I do. This one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. Boy, that's hard sometimes. I know it had to be hard for Saul. How do you put the memory of a dying Stephen out of your mind? History says he brought women and children to be imprisoned. I don't know if he had them stoned or not. How do you put those faces out of your mind? In a marriage, how do you put hurts, even when they weren't intentional? How do you put them out of your mind? But look, it says, forgetting those things that are behind. You have to. You can't fix the past. Now, you can learn from the past. But see, none of us can change ourselves. And again, when Alan, just the word picture I got, when I saw Jesus' hand in the dirt, wipe away that word adultery. Now in the movie, in Mel's movie, that woman is Mary of Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, I think is how they say it, the prostitute. And could be, we're not told for sure, but could be her. And after he's saved her in the movie again, after he saved her from being stoned It just shows her hand. And she's coming forward like on her hands and knees just to touch his feet. Well, I would too. Amen. I bet you she followed him the rest of her life. She's one of, what, the very first one that come to the on the resurrection? Oh, my Lord. Well, how many things did Mary have to forget? A prostitute. She had seven devils. There's no telling what all things were involved. Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth. See, you don't stop there. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. Church, here we are. I press. It's hard. It's like a draws the picture of an athlete at the gym getting ready for the Olympics. I press. I press toward the mark. It's hard work sometimes. It doesn't happen by accident. I'm trying to draw enough words out. I press. There's something we have to do. Press toward the mark. How would you do that, church? The message. Everything, all of it. Fasting, prayer, worship, the Word, waiting on God, co-laboring with the Holy Spirit, all of it. But there's a pressing in the notice, who, the wording there. Who presses? God? You know how many times I don't want to be down here at prayer during the prayer time? Sometimes I can't be for legitimate reasons, but when I can, still I'm going to see. He ruined me with that picture out of Mel's movie. Because every time now that I don't want to come to prayer, I'm just going to see myself held by Satan, and I hear little Gary, little flesh creature Gary, stroking Satan's face, going, "I don't have to go to prayer, do I? I don't care that Jesus suffered and died for me right over there. I'm here with you, and I don't have to go to prayer, do I?" And I'll give that evil grin towards Jesus. Oh, God. God help us all. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Perfect just means mature, we're grown up. Be thus minded, and if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this to you. And well, if you will, if you keep praying. Nevertheless, whereunto we have attained, let us walk by the same rule, no backsliding. Let us mind the same thing. And then he goes into that passage. Wouldn't you call that image of that child in Satan's arm the enemy of the cross? Mocking. It gives us evil. Looks right at Jesus when he's bleeding and scourging. And that evil creature, that child, that flesh creature in the arms of Satan, it just stroking Satan's face so safe and gives this evil mocking glare towards Jesus, like, "You fool. I am not going to be counted on that side. I am not going to be listed as one of the enemies of the cross." So I want to say this. We may get out really early today, and you ought to be glad about that. I have never prayed more soon, and it's just the truth, okay? If I was backslidden, I'd tell you that. This season of my life right now, I am praying more. I am in the Word more. I am in worship more. I can't say fasting more, but still some fasting, okay? I'm doing more than I've ever done. And today, if I go by feeling, I don't even know if I'm saved. You can't live this life by your feelings. You can't live it by emotions. The Word of God is true, no matter what my emotions say about it. The Word of God is true. And even when he allows me to get a real good look at how unmortified I still am, all of my pettiness and smallness and faults, misunderstandings, and still inability to hear God many times. Should have been able to hear him, and I didn't. Forgetting those things that are behind. What am I going to do? Just give up? Go lay down and die somewhere? It'll feel like it sometimes. Well, that's what he wants all of us to do, is quit. That's what he was trying to get Jesus to do, was quit. Forgetting those things that are behind, we press toward the mark. I think we're closer to revival than we realize. Amen. I think it really is. Revival is now. I believe within, I don't want to put a time on it, soon and very soon, very soon, Homer Betancourt is going to receive his sight. He's going to receive that toe back. I don't know if it's a big toe or a little toe. I don't care. I just want the toe. I want to see it. I thank God for a church that'll put impossible cases. I'm going to put this up here where the people watching can see it. So we don't hide our failures in the back room somewhere. What I mean by failures, we've all prayed for all of these people. Sue and I have made journeys to other states to pray for some of them. So have others. How many believe all things are possible? Well, I believe it too. It's all things are possible to him that believes. See, most times you don't put a box like this with the pictures of the impossible cases right up front by the pulpit where everybody can see it. But these are the cases. I'm going to come around here just for a moment. This is Tommy Perez quite a few years ago. Sue and I have been to New York and prayed for Tommy. We milked every fiber of our being for faith. Don't tell me we didn't pray with all that we... You don't pay your own way that far thinking it's not going to work. You know? But it didn't work. He's still in a wheelchair. Here's our little Victoria right here. Born... Now she's 20-something now, I think. Born with a partial brainstem. Is that her fault? I mean, she's just got a partial brain. She's got enough to run her body and her lungs work, heart work, and that type of thing. But she can't tie her shoes, you know, can't eat, can't go to school. On and on we could go. This is part of the mark we're pressing toward. Do you think Jesus would leave any of them? And he won't in us either. I thank God, like Alan was saying, I thank God for anybody. Hey, if God really called you to go street witnessing and he's equipped you to do that, glory to God, do it. You know, if you're an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry, you know. But even if you're an evangelist, if we can't get them out of the chair, we still got some pressing to do. I'm not against anybody doing anything, but let's not forsake one for the other. And at this church, the prayer center, from the very beginning, God gave our pastor a mandate. You take, he says, the vision I'm giving you will not fit inside any other man's vision. I want you to take a group of people and go far enough into God to bring a supernatural outpouring, supernatural revival to a religious city. Well, that's the mandate, and we're still in it. We're not going to lower the bar. We're not going to abandon that mission for church growth, church building, which we could use. We could use a lot of things around here, but what we need more than anything is God. And we need to press toward the mark. Forget those things that are behind. And even when he shows you, sometimes he's got to shake you a little bit to show you you're just not quite along, Gary, as you think you are, son. Now, I'm thank God for where he's brought me, but I see clearly I've got a long ways to go. Well, I'm not going to get there by abandoning the mission. That's what I feel like today, to be honest with you. Felt like it yesterday. Just want to get in a fetal position in a corner and just die right there and let it be over. Well, boy, if that's not the flesh, That is certainly not the Spirit of God. That's the part of me that wants to... I'm ruined now. I'm never going to... Every time I'm not going to pray, I want to see Gary stroking Satan's face. See? Thank you, Mel, for making that movie. Thank you, Lord, for inspiring him to do it. If you haven't seen it in a while, I recommend it to you. I want to recommend this last thing to you. God has really been speaking to Pastor Bronk. Prophecy after prophecy for like 2 years. Now, he's speaking through other voices too. And every word that God gives, whether it's in the written word or if it's really him who speaks from heaven, he's still speaking. You need to give attention to it. But I really recommend the prophecies because they're easy for you to get them. If you're not signed up to get the prophecies that come through the prayer center, all of Bronx are included and in several others. If you're not signed up to get those, you need to contact the prayer center at the website, daveroberson.org. There's a place where you can sign up for email and you'll get the prophecies. But I saw them again just now. How he showed it to me was the page, Bronx page, in my spirit, in my mind. It flashed. I see it. Be sure that you feed on those prophecies. And with the best of your ability, do what God is saying. I don't believe if Jesus walked in the room and talked to you individually, he'd say anything different than what he's saying right there. It's instruction from the throne. And we really need to do it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's just pray for a moment. Everybody, just pray in your language for a moment. I love you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. Thank you for never giving up on us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No, it's not too late. It's not too late. Some say, no, I've waited too late now. It's too late. I've wrecked my life. I've ruined my life. It's too late now. And God says, no, it is not too late. It's not too late, son. Return to me. Seek me with all your heart. And you will find me. Just acknowledge to me what you've done. Repent. And I will graciously receive you. I'll, just like a prodigal, I'll put the sandals on your feet, the robe upon your back, and my signet ring on your finger. We'll have fellowship again around the fatted calf. It is not too late. Forget those things that are past and turn and follow me and stay close to me. I am really good at the game of catching up. I'll cause you to run and not be weary. I'll get you back on track so fast even you won't be able to believe it. But it'll be a testimony all the days of your life and it will encourage others. Stay in my house and fellowship with me, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead. Oh, I thought I saw a snake. Yes. I thought I saw an image. Hallelujah. They don't want to intrude and they want to be helpful. I don't know whether you're in this room or if you're watching, and I don't. It doesn't even have to be today. It could be 10 years from today. It's a great day for you. While you've been hearing this message, the Lord's been showing things that you need to forget and put behind you, and a walk that needs to change. And He's encouraging you today. He's not giving up on you. He's inviting you. said, just come to me. Return to me, my child. Leave that world behind. Leave it behind. You can't bring the pigsty with you. Leave it behind and return to me. I will forgive. I will pardon. I will restore. You and I have great things to do. I need you to return, and you need to return. I feel this prayer of repentance today. Let's all pray it, and because we can all, in various degrees, we can all pray it. Say, Lord, I'm asking you again. Father, forgive me. Forgive me for all those times where I chose the flesh instead of the cross. I'm tired of living that way. I choose you, Father. And I choose the cross. I choose the path you've called me to. Forgive me, Father. I confess it all as sin. Wash it away by the blood of the Lamb. Restore your rightness in me once more. Receive me in your arms by the blood of Jesus Christ. Fill me fresh with your Spirit. Fill me fresh with the joy of the Holy Ghost. And I'll serve you all the days of my life, Lord. I'll serve you all the days of my life. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Now, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, today is your day. See, that was a prayer for backsliders, and He loves the backslider, and He'll receive you like the prodigal son. But if you've never given your heart to the Lord, there is no other way to God. Don't let the world and other religions tell you different. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No person, nobody comes to the Father but by Jesus. Now, the gospel is just real simple. You've heard a lot of it today. We all sinned. Everybody sinned. Everybody needs His saving grace. Nobody could save themselves. So God sent His Son, who lived a perfect life. Never sinned, not even one time. And He died on the cross in your place. He took the punishment. Like the woman in adultery, by His own blood, it's like He just wiped away all your sins. But you have to receive Him in order to have the benefit of it. So pray that again. Let's pray this prayer. Say, Father, forgive me from all my sins. I believe that Jesus is your Son. I believe He is the Lamb of God. That He died in my place. He paid the price for my sin. Father, forgive me. And Jesus, I know you're raised from the dead. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Come and live in this house. Change me from the inside out. And Father, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. So I can co-labor with you. Thank you for all of this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, it's the most important thing you ever did in your life. You went from being a child of the devil to being a child of God. You're born again. He's received you back. Find out what's in His Word. If you've never read the Bible, I recommend start with the Gospel of John. Just start with John. It's all wonderful. You could start with the begats and be blessed, but start with John. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm listening. Healings of me. We're going to sit. Hang on, church. Hang on. When God comes, it's like a buck and bronco. You better hang on. It gets messy and it gets unchurchy. Hang on. Great things are in store. Let's press toward the mark. Amen. I believe I'm done. Father, I just thank you for this service. I thank you for everything you have done, what you're doing. Father, thank you that you love us too much to leave us the way we are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for your Spirit that always encourages us to keep pressing toward the mark. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, you can say amen.